Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And we're back in our respective continents once again.
Yes. Now we're in different continents. Our sound quality seems a lot better.
We're now talking to Matt through the magic of Skype, a seemingly superior technology than the service provided by AT&T.
Yes. Yeah, and this is not... No one has paid us. No one... Like, that's just our experience. We're not like... Verizon are giving us money for that.
No, this backroom is just payments from Verizon, yeah, or T-Mobile.
Yes. Anyway, so there we go. Yeah, we're back on other ends of the world to podcast. How exciting. And what better thing to podcast about now we're at opposite ends of the world than a movie that goes to opposite worlds of the ends.
Opposite ends of the universe.
Yes, yes. Better way of saying it.
We're going to be reviewing Interstellar, the sort of sci-fi space exploration-y blockbuster from Christopher Nolan and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, if you've got a free 3 hours anytime over the next couple of weeks, go see Interstellar, because it's a bit of a time commitment.
You saw this while you were in LA, and you said, oh, I'll probably be home around like 11 or something. You know, the movie's at 8, and I was like, well, there's no way you're getting home before midnight.
When you're in Hollywood, you meet people, you go out, you have crazy nights. So, yeah, I got back pretty late that night, although I did just come straight back from the movie that occasion.
No crazy story, it's just a very long film.
Yeah.
Now, as well as the fate of the world being at stake, perhaps more importantly, my opinion on Christopher Nolan was at stake. I mean, it's always... It's always at stake, you know, when you make a film. But after The Dark Knight Rises, one of the most disappointing films in my mind of all time, you're on the edge. Because you can forgive one bad film, but two in a row,
yeah,
donezo.
We've all made one bad film. We've all made it. Like, yeah. We all know what that's like, but... The Dark Knight Rises, yeah. Could I amend my score for The Dark Knight Rises again? I feel like I was far too generous in my amending of that score.
Look, I'm not usually for this, but in this scenario, I am all for it.
Okay, so what did I originally give it?
Something insane, like a 9.
It's like a 9, I don't know, it was a quarter. I think I was just disappointed I couldn't review The Dark Knight, that we missed that for the podcast. It was some residual Dark Knight love hanging over it. I got caught up in the craze. Then what did I re-amend it to, like 7 or something, right?
I don't know. What do you want to re-amend it to?
Well, let's just re-amend it to like a 4. Let's just keep this.
So Matt and myself are on the same page. Christopher Nolan's, yeah, last film was a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
But
the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, boy, so much in that film didn't make sense.
Well, there was a few reasons to think that this might be better for me. Firstly, I love sci-fi. This is my type of film. I love Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, and even more so in True Detective. So I was excited to see him in the lead role. Matt, what were your expectations for Interstellar?
You know how big a fan I am of the night sky and space. I love looking at it. I love Gravity. I was just in awe of it. And yeah, there's some romanticism, and I'm not even talking about like lovey-dovey romanticism, some romanticism to looking out at the, you know, giant balls of celestial beings, you know, burning the brightness of 10,000 suns and things. Like, you know, like there's just something exciting about space exploration and travel. So that I was on board for. When I heard it was 3 hours, it was a bit of a turn off. I like that Gravity was 90 minutes. Matthew McConaughey, not a huge fan of. I think he's a bit overrated. And I didn't really know anything about what the plot was going to be. So that sort of had me a little intrigued. So part of me was really excited. Part of me was a bit worried. Part of me was just interested.
So the film, I presume, is set in a near future. We're not actually told, you know, there's no text. The year is 2031. Just seems...
Good play, yeah. Too. Oh. It won't date the film. You can watch it in 10 years and it'll still seem like it's 10 years away.
Yeah, well done. Well, it's got us asking questions. And basically, things aren't looking so good in the future. There's a lot of dust. I'm personally not a fan of dust. I don't think Matthew McConaughey's family was either, so... They're thinking, what can we do? How can we get away from this dust, basically?
Yeah.
And we don't
they're growing a lot of something. What is it?
Corn. Corn's a good commodity in whatever year this is set in.
Yeah. It's probably this year. I don't know. They make so much corn in America.
And so we're not going to go into all the ins and outs, but basically, due to the way Earth is, Matthew McConaughey is provided with the opportunity to go into space, basically to look for something else.
Another planet to live on where there's like less dust and a better variety of foods than just corn.
That was the mandate. Find a planet with less dust and less corn.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's a pretty grand film, I would say, visually, with all the space travel, the shots of planets and things that, you know, maybe I don't think we've actually seen before inside certain wormholes and black holes and stardust and all that good stuff. But it looks amazing.
Yes. It's incredible. When they go through the wormhole thing, I've never been inside a wormhole before, so it's pretty interesting to have a bit of a sneaky peek.
Did it make you want to go through a wormhole?
No, not really. I think it was good enough to just see the movie.
bit risky.
Yeah. Seems a bit intense. A bit time commitment too. Like, the takes some ages. So, yeah. So the 3-hour movie was enough.
Spend enough time in wormholes. And it was also a bit of a grand film, I guess, in some of the themes and topics that it tried to deal with. One of them was the issue of time, which I think some people found quite confusing and other people found interesting. Some people were wondering, is this scientifically accurate? Some of these questions...
What did you find confusing, Jonathan?
I didn't find any of it confusing.
Oh, okay.
But essentially, part of the story is if you land somewhere that's close to a black hole due to the difference in the gravitational force experienced there and then what you would experience on Earth, time moves more slowly. Mm. So that's an interesting predicament. You know, it's not just if you get stuck on a planet for a bit, you're like, oh, how are we going to get back? Oh, yeah, we made it back. However long you're stuck there, that could be hours on that planet. Could be years back home.
It's like Narnia, but like the reverse.
I mean, I guess the only good thing would be how many Screen Verdict podcasts you'd come back to.
Oh man, yeah, Matthew McConaughey didn't get into the spaceship, and he was like catching up on his Screen Verdict podcast. He went, oh, we've got 10 years of Screen Verdict podcast to catch up on.
He's like, I hate this one a week business. I just want to bulk watch him. I want to Netflix those podcasts. Yeah. So there you go. Chin up, McConaughey.
Yeah. So, the time moves. This is pretty much it if people found it confusing. It's just, you know, near black holes and in space, time's a bit different. So sometimes the time's different. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm sure the audience is glad that you did a worse explanation of it than what I had already given. Really clarified it for them.
I'm trying to bottom line it. Time's different in different places.
Mm. well, not only can time be different, there's also different dimensions. The way we perceive things such as time and space can potentially be different. Now, we wouldn't say exactly how this happens. We don't want to spoil anything. But that topic, when it sort of got into that, perhaps a little bit surreal, you know, pushing the boundaries of what we actually know about the universe. Did you go with it, Matt? Or were you like, ooh, this is okay, a bit of malarkey?
There's a bit at the end where it takes a bit of a turn. I will not say what that turn is. And at first I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's like so stupid. And then about 3 minutes in, I'm sort of like, actually, I'm just going to go with this because it's something a bit different. I haven't really seen something like this before. I want to see how it plays out. And I think once I embraced that it was a weirdy sort of sci-fi sort of movie, I enjoyed it a lot more.
Mm. I felt like the film posed some questions and there were some things that at the end they tried to connect to the beginning and provide answers to those little teasing plot lines that had laid down. And I liked that. I didn't want it to just ignore those. I wanted it to address those issues. And I felt like you had point A, point B, and then in the middle there was a little bit of a question mark. And I thought, I'll go with it. I'm just going to run with this. It makes enough sense that if I don't think about it too hard, I'm going to enjoy the film more. So that's what I did.
Mm. Yeah, I think that was a good call. One of the big twists at the end, though, I sort of called pretty early.
Mm.
And by pretty early, I'm saying, like, first hour of the film. Wait, I can't tell you what I called it, because it will spoil it for people. I'll tell you after the podcast.
So as well as McConaughey and some space travels, who did we have in the film?
Okay. Anne Hathaway was in it. She was another astronaut and daughter of Michael Caine's character in the film, not daughter of Michael Caine. Like, she wasn't playing someone who's the daughter of Michael Caine. She was playing the daughter of
Michael Caine's character. I
mean. Yeah, Michael. Yes.
I liked Anne Hathaway. I thought she gave a pretty solid performance. And there was one speech she gives at one point that I thought, oh, that was powerful. That's kind of her scene. You know, if she's submitting herself for the awards race this season, just skip to, 2 hours 20 and watch this scene. Cause that's, that's really my submission there.
Yeah.
I felt her character was a little weak overall. From the writing point of view, I think she did a good job, but they didn't really give her quite enough, and I didn't think they really wrapped up her story as I would have liked them to.
I think that's fair. You've got Michael Caine, obviously, playing the dad of Anne Hathaway. Not the actress Anne Hathaway, but Anne Hathaway's character in the film. And he's sort of like a guy who's a bit of a mentor for Matthew McConaughey. It's sort of his whole harebrained scheme to go find this wormhole, go find another planet. So, you know, he's sort of going, oh, Matt, just get over there. Let's see how it all works out.
Yeah, he basically played Michael Caine in The Dark Knight in Interstellar. It was pretty much the same role.
Mm. Yeah. I agree. Then we have Jessica Chastain, who plays Matthew McConaughey's daughter. Not Matthew McConaughey, the actor, a character Matthew McConaughey plays in the film. That's pretty interesting. I thought she was probably my favourite performance in the film. I'm giving an MVP to Jessica Chastain.
Ooh. I really like the performance by Jessica Chastain as a kid, which was not actually by Jessica Chastain.
No, I heard it was. I heard they got some prosthetics and things.
They filmed it Boyhood style. They said, well, we'll get your scenes probably, you know, about 20 years in advance. We did this in the 90s. Then through some space travel, we'll keep Matthew McConaughey looking the same age. And then when you grow up to be an adult Jessica Chastain, we'll finish the rest of the film.
Mm. Yeah.
But I liked her character. I thought she had an important role in the film and did it really well and provided some good stuff for, you know, she wasn't actually in the scene, but there's a great scene where Matthew McConaughey is watching videos while on the spaceship in outer space, and I thought that was really powerful. I thought that was a great, great scene for him.
I think the first time we see Jessica Chastain in the film was, for me, the most powerful moment of the film, because it was a little surprising. It was very emotional, and I think you were sort of in Matthew McConaughey's shoes, where you haven't seen, because he's been in space, he hasn't seen his daughter for decades, and to actually just see who she's become and hear her story, I was gripped. I was, like, to see her emotions and what she was feeling and stuff, I was on the edge of my seat.
I agree with that. So, something that's come up while talking about the film with various peoples is the sound. Now, in The Dark Knight Rises, I had a little bit of trouble understanding Bane, and I didn't know if it was my cinema, the way they mixed it, something to do with the speakers, but other people had that problem as well. Did you have any problems with the sound in Interstellar?
Okay, I think there's three elements to this. first element is the special effects of the sounds of the spaceship taking off and going through the wormhole. Love that. I was in IMAX, and I could feel my, seat shaking when those big, rockets went off, and I felt like I was on the rocket ship. So that was really cool. They've then got this organ music that plays a lot during the film, which is a very interesting choice. And I think that's more hit and miss. I think sometimes that works really well. And you're like, oh, boy, this is a bit different and interesting. And other times you're like, it's drowning out other things I want to be listening to. And then I think the third element is Matthew McConaughey, where, boy, this is really like Dallas Buyers Club and True Detective. Really, he's just taking on these roles where he sort of rambles and mumbles sort of like things that I think he thinks are really profound, but I find a bit less profound, you know? He sort of just like has this way. The same thing when he gives his Oscar acceptance speech as well, to be fair. Like, you know, just this sort of, okay, guys, I think we've got to be looking further than where we are right now because people are doing the thing, you know, because this world is big enough for all of us. I don't know. So that's a bit weird.
I thought that the sound effects in general were amazing. It made you feel like you were in a spaceship and you were crashing or zooming off through here. All that stuff was great.
Yes, yes.
Oh, little side note, the robot kind of thing was awesome. The way they moved.
Oh, I forgot about the robots.
I don't even know how to describe. You got to see the film, but they're brilliant. Never seen original robots before.
I'm sure you'll put on a big pitch for it to win an Actor in Film Award this year. As the Screen Verdict Tool. Robots have had very good outings at our Screen Verdict Movie Awards, and no one has been a bigger proponent of them than you.
So I love the robots. I love the sound effects in general, but at times where there was sound effects and dialogue at the same time, the sound effects came at the expense of the dialogue. It's like you go to see a band and they're jamming out on the guitars and it's a mad riff, mad solo, but you can't hear any of the lyrics. You can't hear the vocals because the guys are... It's just too much, too loud. It doesn't matter if it's quality, if it's good, if it's drowning out other things that are important. So there was at least three or four occasions where I just gave up. I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to understand the rest of this sentence. I'm just going to wait for them to move on to the next scene.
It's McConaughey's fault. He rambles his dialogue. He mumbles. It's like, there was like no sound in the end of True Detective, and we had no idea what he was saying. It's like no spaceships were taking off in True Detective at any point, and you still couldn't understand half of what he was going on about.
And according to Nolan, it was intentional. He said, yep, I've heard everybody's complaints, and that was the way I wanted the film to be.
Yeah.
So don't be blaming the sound guy, saying, oh, this sound guy is useless. Going to hear half the dialogue in Interstellar. Nolan, that's how he wanted it to be.
Yeah. Did Nolan write the script?
Yeah, him and his brother, I think.
Okay. Doesn't back it.
That was his brother's lines.
Hey, sound guys, when my brother's lines come up, can you just, like, jack up the sound effects?
So is there anything else that you wanted to touch on in Interstellar?
No. That's sort of it. There's another actor, but I think it's nice if that actor's a bit of a surprise to the audience.
So, screen verdict rating time. Interstellar. I thought visually it looked great. I love the subject matter. I love that sci-fi stuff. I love that little bit what's out there. It's existential. It's just a little bit pretentious enough to make me feel like I'm watching an intelligent movie, but not too not too pretentious to make me feel like the filmmakers think they're above me.
Not Cloud Atlas pretentious.
I thought the action was great. I thought the performances were great. I thought they tied most things together. There were a couple of question marks, but nothing that bothered me too badly. And the sound was a little bit frustrating, but didn't break the film. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it a 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. I thought that Interstellar was a really cool film. I loved the space stuff and the space travel and the sound effects and the visual effects and stuff. They were all amazing and just like had me on the spaceship. I thought there were some really nice personal elements, especially Jessica Chastain, when you see that love, like, and hurt that her father's caused her. And like, I thought that was a really interesting personal level, his relationship with his daughter, which mostly is happening from, you know, the opposite ends of the universe, which was exciting. I thought it was a little bit too pretentious, the dialogue. I thought like it was just a little bit trying to say more than it actually had to say. I'm a little mixed on the sort of sci-fi ending sort of elements to it. I ultimately, net liked it and enjoyed it, but it wasn't my favorite ending to a movie ever. And there's one other thing I was going to say. It was, it's too long. You could trim easily 40 minutes off this film, particularly at the beginning. It takes a while to get into. Don't really care about, like, you know, his daughter getting in trouble at school for saying the moon landing was real or whatever. So, yeah, they could have just got to the chase a bit quicker. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
So there we go. Not bad. Pretty decent combined score for Interstellar.
One question about Interstellar, Jonathan. If you were Matthew McConaughey, you're being asked to go on this mission. Let's assume you haven't seen the whole movie. You know, you don't have the benefit of hindsight. Do you go on the mission or do you stay with your family?
You go. You got to go. Because because going will save your family. You can potentially end up not seeing your family ever again, but the mission needs to be accomplished. Someone needs to do the mission, and I'm the only guy for the mission.
Yeah, I sort of agree. It was very hard, like, to see why it was a hard decision. Like, I think it's still less emotionally hard, but I think because you've got to go on the mission when the stakes are this high. For so many people, I think it's a bit selfish to stay with your family.
Made I'm a better film that way. I prefer the space stuff to the dust and the corn. So I think from a filmmaking perspective, good choice.
Yeah. And I'd just like to add that I think I wasn't a fan of Plan B. Like saving the genes and sort of stuff, like to continue the human race. Like whatever, if we screw up the human race, it's over. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, like
Matt's all or nothing. He's all in.
Yeah, I'm all in. Either save us or don't worry about breeding more little seeds or whatever and keeping it going. Like, let's all go down. Like, yeah, let's just try to save people or just give up. Let's not worry about the sort of Plan B option.
So on that motivational note, I think it's time to move into housekeeping.
Yes, we've got some. Yeah. Do you have any, Jonathan?
Well, I was going to say our listeners may have seen a couple of our Screen Verdict in the USA challenges.
Yes.
Started out with some arcade games in Santa Monica. And we haven't uploaded them yet, but a couple more challenges may include trip to In-N-Out.
Yes, In-N-Out challenge.
The ice rink.
Yes, or the ice rinks.
So stay tuned for that. You can check them out on youtube.com/screenverdict or just our Facebook page. We'll be posting them there, facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast.
And neither of us know who won the showdown.
Oh, yeah. We don't actually know what the final outcome is, so I'm excited. If I'm excited, you guys should be just as excited.
Yeah, the final challenge I had to film and the final challenge you had to film. and we haven't compared the videos yet, so we don't know how each other did. Have you done it yet, Jonathan?
Yes.
How confident are you that you've won the showdown?
I would say that my performance was average. The fact that you said that it was a little bit more difficult than you were expecting makes me feel like I might have the edge, but your expectations might have been too high. So I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm very nervous.
I'm less confident since having done the challenge than I was before doing the challenge. So I really thought I'd just clean it up. But so we'll see how that goes with the video when we compare them probably in the next day, I would say. So anyway, Jonathan, now we have a bit more housekeeping. One such housekeeping is, you might remember, and our listeners might remember, it was a very popular podcast, didn't it? It sort of set the internet alight. Was me applying for The Bachelor.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, I was overseas the past month, so if they're trying to get in touch with me, I'm not going to be on The Bachelor. Like, I'm pretty sure they had to have cast it by now, right?
Well, the Screen Verdict interns were taking messages for us, so can we see what they've recorded for us?
I'm going to check my voicemail, and let's just see if they've left a message, because I might be too late to join the show. But it would be nice to know I got a call back. So what's it? Do you know what the voicemail number is for Optus? You know, is it 321?
I think it's the same. What, on an iPhone, don't you just hit phone and then voicemail's the bottom right?
Oh yeah, there's a voicemail button. I'll press that. So it deals. Okay, let's. Very good job. So can you hear it? I can't even. Okay. Oh wait, hang up. Speaker. I've got to put on speaker, obviously, don't I? Okay. Voicemail. How do I get to speaker? Okay. I'm gonna call 321 because that's my thing, and we can speak. Okay. Tell me if you can hear the ringing.
Hello.
Oh wait. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh
no. Updates. This is like a mandatory download and install.
Yeah.
What skip? Is there a skip button?
Okay, no messages on the new one. Okay, here's the legacy.
After retrieving your old messages, you can simply hang up or press star to return to your new voicemail system. Don't forget that your messages will expire up to 20
minutes. Oh my gosh! Okay, here we go.
Your hand's covering the microphone, I think.
Okay, probably behind him are healthcare payments while I was overseas.
I can't hear it. Can you turn it up?
I don't think so.
I can hear the lady. I just couldn't hear the voice that well. I can hear it. It was about well.
It's about healthcare.
Wasn't there two messages? Get on to the next one.
Yeah. I can't hear instructions. You're shouting at me. See, I just missed all the options. I don't know what button I'm going to press. Just, I don't know what button I'm at.
Just save, go into the save. Surely you'll be able to go to the next one if you save.
Okay, okay, good. Oh, it's again. Okay, they're both from a healthcare provider.
Disaster.
Yeah, they're both from a healthcare provider. Maybe it's got lost in the shuffle with this app, this Optus legacy voicemail changing and everything like that.
Maybe that's part of the bachelor process. You know, you need to pass a medical. They tried to get in touch with your healthcare provider. Healthcare provider's trying to get in touch with you. Once you get that sorted out, then the bachelor people, you'll be ready for the show.
Now I'm worried that I've been kicked off my private health cover, like about two messages, like, we're concerning your account, like, can you just get back to us about that? So, anyway, I've got to call the doctors. Jonathan, you also wanted, I got in a bit of trouble while I was over there for not keeping you up to date with entertainment news, and I got something on the wire the past week that I thought might interest you a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a new show, I think coming to Showtime, called Happy-ish. Have you heard of that? Anyway,
sure.
The main actors in it's going to be Steve Coogan. We love Steve Coogan In the Loop and things like that. Anyway, and Philomena. Anyway, they've just cast a supporting actor, Bradley Whitford from The West Wing. Exciting. But here's the more exciting thing, Jonathan. His character's name is going to be Jonathan Cook.
Wow. Well.
Yeah. There you go.
I thought if I ever made it onto television, I'd probably be playing myself. But if someone other than me were to be playing it, Bradley Whitford's a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Can he play younger? Can Bradley Whitford play 25?
I don't know. But, and here's the thing even more exciting, Jonathan. They are spelling the name with the E at the end of Cook. It is like... Your name. Like,
you should see how many ribbons and certificates I got through, you know, primary school sports and things with my name spelt JohnJohnOthonCooke. So for, you know, Showtime, they've really got their stuff together.
Yeah, and some more entertainment news. People Magazine have given their Sexiest Man Alive Award out again. Have you heard who was the winner of that?
I have actually for once. Normally I never know, but I think I've seen on the cover of a magazine. Chris Hemsworth.
Mm. Yes.
Sexiest
Man. Do we like the call?
The Screen Verdict podcast is snubbed once again. That aside, you know, at least they're repping Australia. They're going with an Australian for sexiest. They're getting closer.
Yeah.
They're moving in the right direction.
Now, Colbert did a big rant on how McConaughey should have got it. I'm not a big McConaughey fan, but I sort of seem to agree. Like, True Detective, he won the Oscar, Interstellar's huge. It does seem like he's the guy to give this to.
Hmm.
Well, I think now I'm starting to learn that with people, they try to get ahead of the curve. Like, they gave it to Bradley Cooper the year before he got his Oscar nomination. And they go, we sort of launched him into that, maybe.
Maybe they were too late. McConaughey has already peaked. Or maybe it was too early. Maybe people were voting while McConaughey was still a bit skinny. They were looking at him.
And the Emmy loser McConaughey before Interstellar came out. Yeah.
Not as sexy when he weighed about 110 pounds.
Mm, yeah, so here we go, Jonathan. I found the press release for Bradley Whitford joining the show.
Right. Is it quick? Because I've got to go to a movie. We've got to do a podcast next week on the Hunger Games, and I've got to go see Hunger Games now.
What time do you have to leave?
In the next 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought we were making good time. Sorry, do you want me to read you the press release next week?
Sure, we'll tease the audience. You've got that to look forward to next week, as well as a Hunger Games podcast. We're going to be reviewing Mockingjay Part 1.
Are we going to get Jess back?
If Jess is available, maybe. I don't know.
If Jess is available, let's try to get her back. for the podcast. That'd be fun next weekend. Okay. Cool.
Well, that was Interstellar. Well, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Was
it was a stellar podcast.
I thought it was an interesting podcast. I should have gone first. I should have said that, and then you should. We'll edit it. We'll do a little interstellar time loop type thing. We'll sort it out.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
See you next week.